You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy!
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spell.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
All right, good evening, everybody. We're getting some Bedrick and some extra glass from Seymour.
He's making up for last week because you weren't here.
Well, yeah, we did miss a pain last week, didn't we? Yeah, the echo is gone. That's good. hope everybody's doing. It is day whatever the fuck of quarantine. I don't even know anymore. I haven't trimmed my beard since they sent me home. I guess that's been 2 weeks ago. And I got the rest of this week to worry about it because I don't have to go back into the office until Monday morning to be essential for a little while.
China is asshole.
Asshole. Yeah, they really are. You know, I mean, they suck. Before we get rolling good, just want to remind you that it is Wednesday night on KLRN Radio, and that means that it is your grand slam of conservative talk. And coming up after me tonight at the top of the next hour will be the red wine tonight, isn't it?
Negative, sir. It's FUBAR.
It's FUBAR tonight. FUBAR? Holy crap, Sam and Ordy are back. That's what happens when I miss a week. I forget what's going on. Yeah. Then do we have a Robinson and Wright?
No, we have a Robinson and Amish because Dan is doing the essential thing again. Bastard.
Okay. We have a Robinson and Amish, and then we have an America Off the Rails for you. I am sure of that, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. It's always nice to be up on things.
That's what she said.
Holy hell, who knew? I mean, this thing with Wright, I mean, he's just going to have to mail it in or something. Ordy's basically taking over his show.
There's a reason we call him Hordy, I'm just saying.
Yes, yes, there is, definitely. All right, so anyway, we got FUBAR coming up behind me tonight. This is great. I get to be the opening act for Sam and Ordy, which is always fun because they're a blast. And I don't mind saying I like a little bit sponging off their audience on the front side. So, you know, it's all good. But anyway, before we get rolling into the prepared notes, I've got a thing or two we need to discuss. I'm not going to sit here and give you the same line of shit that I'm tired of hearing on TV and radio. Hey, we're all in this together, and together we'll get through it. No, screw that shit. Listen up. There are people that are having a difficult time right now, whether it be financial, whether it be job related, but maybe not financial yet, whether it is the difficulty of dealing with their children at home 24/7 with nowhere to go with them, nothing to do with them, and they're in their hair. Listen to me. People cope with things differently. When somebody is having a difficult time, that is not the time to shit on them. That's the time where you act like a damn human being and you try to show a little empathy. If you're apathetic to the situation, scroll past it, ignore it, go away. Try being a goddamn grown-up.
It's a good thing we played that disclaimer. Just saying.
What's that?
I said it's a good thing we played that disclaimer.
Oh, well, you told me it played, so I'm good. I don't care. I'm pissed. I've seen too much of it. Just way too much of it. And, I mean, good people. Good people just showing a little bit of frustration and being pounced on like they're trash. And I've had it up to my damn 6'4" eyeballs with it. So quit being a dick and start acting like real people. And if you're acting like a real person, thank you for doing the right thing. All right. Now that we got that off my chest, I feel a little better. So we're going to get into this. We got China. China says they had their feelings hurt, basically. They got their feelings hurt over the way everybody thinks they handled or mishandled coronavirus outbreak.
China is asshole!
China is asshole! Yes, they are. And in response to doing that, China decided that they were going to publish this timeline that shows their version of events and how they focused on it and shared the information that they claim needed to be shared. So this timeline runs longer than 20,000 words, and it's dominated by entries about President Xi Jinping and other Chinese officials speaking to world leaders, along with multiple references to China's quote-unquote open, transparent, and responsible handling of the outbreak. Also featured is the World Health Organization's praise of China's efforts. But what we've learned through parsing the reports outside of this timeline is that both China and the World Health Organization lied to the world. They lied to the world, and they downplayed this. And now it's biting a lot of people in the ass. Now, does that mean that there isn't some responsibility to go around here? No, that doesn't mean that at all. You know, it is possible that they could have done wrong, and there are some things that we could have done better. We blocked travel from China back in January, back when the only thing anybody on the left gave a damn about was impeachment. They didn't care about coronavirus. When Trump blocked travel, oh, he's just being a racist. So, you know, this timeline has some holes in it, and we're gonna examine some of that. So, for example, President Xi told the Mongolian president during a late February phone call that, quote, with an open, transparent, and responsible attitude, the Chinese government has actively stepped up international cooperation to fight the outbreak, and China's efforts have been highly affirmed and recognized by the World Health Organization and the international community. Now, this timeline is notably thin early on. The first two entries, I mean, really, I'll read them to you here. The first entry doesn't even get a date. It just says late December 2019. The Wuhan Center for Disease Control and Prevention, basically China's CDC, in central China's Hubei province, detected cases of pneumonia of unknown cause. That's the first entry. On December 30th, we actually get a date on this one, 2019, the Wuhan Municipal Health Commission issued an urgent notification to medical institutions under its jurisdiction, ordering efforts to appropriately treat patients with pneumonia of unknown cause, as opposed to inappropriately treating patients with pneumonia. I mean, why would there be an effort to appropriately treat patients with pneumonia? Why would you need to issue an order to that effect? Isn't that what a hospital would do anyway? The Chinese timeline does not include the fact that a first case of the mystery illness had been detected as early as November 17th, according to leaked Chinese government data reported on by Hong Kong's South China Morning Post. It does not include the claim contained in the academic paper by two dozen Chinese experts that a patient in Wuhan began experiencing symptoms on December 1st. The Chinese timeline does not include the fact that fluid samples from a Wuhan seafood market delivery man sent by hospital staff to genomics company on December 24th had come back on the 27th with the news that sequencing of the new virus found similar results to the SARS coronavirus, which emerged in 2002 and 2003. Also omitted is the fact that the Hubei doctor, Zhang Jixian, told Chinese health authorities on December 27th that he believed a new coronavirus was responsible for the disease. That's where the name novel comes from. It's a new one, like a novel concept. Yeah, I think we covered that before, but just in case. Under the international health regulations, an instrument of international law revised in the aftermath of the SARS epidemic, national authorities are obliged to inform the World Health Organization within 24 hours of any public health event that could have serious and international consequences. According to the World Health Organization, its China country office was first informed of cases of pneumonia with an unknown cause on December 31st of 2019. I know you're saying, oh, well, you said December 27th. That's only 4 days. Well, you know what? 3 days is a long time for a disease to be spreading around, but let's back up. Let's back up to November 17th. Now we're looking at 6 weeks of this circulating in China before the World Health Organization was ever notified of it. And they're going to turn around and praise China for having done good. Also, according to the World Health Organization, China reported a total of 44 patients as of January 3rd. Yet, according to the Chinese government data cited by South China Morning Post, the number of confirmed cases stood already at 381 on January 1st. The Chinese timeline makes no reference to the fact several doctors in Wuhan tried to draw attention to the virus and were punished for spreading false, quote-unquote, rumors online. The timeline also gives no explanation for the weeks-long delay between China's agreement to a WHO request and the visit to visit the outbreak location and the team's arrival in Wuhan. Relevant entries in the timeline, lightly edited for brevity, include January 25th, China's National Health Commission replied in a letter to the World Health Organization director Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, welcome the WHO to send a group of international experts to cooperate with China to strengthen epidemic prevention and control. On January 30th, China's NHC notified the United States side that American experts are welcome to join the China WHO joint mission. The U.S. side responded the same day and expressed their appreciation. February 3rd, a Chinese diplomat in Geneva called for concerted efforts from the international community to combat the epidemic. February 8th, Chinese and U.S. health officials or U.S. health authorities had another discussion over arrangements regarding the participation of American experts in China. February 11th, a visiting WHO advance team held its first meeting with Chinese counterparts discussing and reaching initial agreement on issues including the principle in determining the list of members, priorities of field visits, and agenda. On February 16th, WHO team, 25 experts from China, Germany, Japan, South Korea, Nigeria, Russia, Singapore, and the United States, along with the WHO, started a 9-day field visit in China. On February 22nd, WHO team arrived in Wuhan. 29 days passed between Beijing's agreement to the World Health Organization's request to visit and the team's arrival in Wuhan. During those 29 days, the number of cases of what was later named COVID-19 rose from 1,317 in China and 26 in 10 other countries, with a total of 41 deaths, to more than 76,300 cases in China and more than 1,400 in 29 other countries, with a total of 2,359 deaths. And this was a few days ago, so we know the number has risen. Now, you tell me that China didn't lie. Tell me they didn't lie. Did we do everything we possibly could as fast as we possibly could? I don't think we did. Would it have been considered overkill and probably ridiculed by the left and the media? Yes, it would have been. It's any situation with Trump. He's damned if he does, he's damned if he doesn't. It doesn't matter. The left will politicize any move he makes, regardless of what it is, and the press will do everything they can to crucify him. Acosta can't ask a legitimate question. CNN's senior White House correspondent can't even ask a legitimate question. I wouldn't even call on him anymore. Just ignore him. He's a moron. He's a moron who's in love with himself. He loves hearing himself talk, and he thinks he's got all these cute little zings and gotchas. And if you didn't see the clip today of Trump trolling the reporters pool for the daily briefing with Dr. Brix, you should look that up. That was pretty funny. Barr even got a big kick out of that, had a big grin on his face. I thought it was really good. But anyway, if Rick's there, Rick, you can hit that button one more time as we wrap this up. China is asshole.
China is asshole.
Yes. Yes, they really are. I mean, it's just crazy. But let's take a pause on China for a minute and let's bounce back across to our country. And we got some big news, big, big, big news, right? I mean, Bernie dropped out of the race today. The Bernie bros are not happy.
Neither are the Bernie
is doing his. What's that?
Neither are the Bernie hoes.
Yeah, yeah, Bernie hoes and Bernie bros. None of them are happy. I saw one poll already where the Bernie bros are already tipping it to Trump. It was hilarious, but that's correct, Mike. USA, not ass-ho. Chat room's buzzing tonight, by the way. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
I see Mike and Eric, and I see Kat and Rick and Ordy. And who else do I see? I don't know. There's some people in there. It's cool. If you're just listening right now, you should definitely hit the klrnradio.net/chat in your browser and jump in the chat room and join the fine crew of the Chat Lives Matter brand. And suspended, she's going to remain on ballot and collect. He is going to remain on the ballot and collect delegates to try to help shape the party platform. I'm sure Biden's not real thrilled about that, but at this point, it's the best he's going to get. But the Bernie bros are livid, and you know what they you know. I get a little bit of fun out of watching it happen, but at the same time, I mean, at least they're not using the super delegates to screw them or anything like that. He's being screwed in a completely different way this time. So, I mean, this really, it's, I'm really shocked that Warren hasn't come out and thrown her support behind Biden. It's just a matter of time now, I think. But what do I know? I'm just a dumbass that has a podcast. So, anyway, Bernie is out, and we'll see if he pulls another house out of the deal, huh? Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, or whether his net worth suddenly increases on his next tax return. Coming around next year, he's probably already filed this year if he were smart anyway. Because everybody will forget about him by this time next year. So anyway, Bernie's out. And what was funny is the day before Bernie dropped, we had civil rights icon Congressman John Lewis on Tuesday throwing his endorsement to Joe Biden, as pick for president, and encouraged him to pick a woman of color as his running mate. Which I have been saying for weeks and weeks that if it was Biden, he would definitely do that. And it would probably be somebody from a swing state. I am still leaning towards Val Demings. And I think that that would be, if he were going to pick a woman of color, I think that's where he would go. Florida would definitely be a heavy hitting state to have, try to pull some swing out of. And, that's where she's from. So Stacey Abrams is always a consideration, but then she'd get to talk about how she's really the vice president when she loses that election too, and say she was robbed and cheated and make herself a professional victim all over again. But, Lewis added that any woman, a woman of any race, would be a good choice. But he thought that it should be a woman of color. He said it would be good to have a woman that looks like the rest of America, smart, gifted, a fighter, a warrior. I think the time has long passed to make the White House look like the whole of America. Now, look, I don't have a problem with an African-American man or woman in the White House. I could not possibly care less about somebody's skin color. If you've been with me since back in the days when it was just me and Rick over on Facebook, you've seen me use a thing where I talk about, I don't care if you're black, white, red, yellow, green, purple, blue, or plaid. We're all human beings, and we should be treated as such. So I don't really care about the skin color of anybody. I care about their policies. I care about their policies. That's what I care about. So, you give me an Alan West, I'm great. You give me a Condi Rice, I'm fine. You give me a Mia Love, I'm fine. You give me John Jacobs up in Michigan, I'm fine. It's when you start putting these filthy liberal policies in place that I have a problem. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care if you're as lily white as Hillary Clinton or as grizzled a civil rights warrior as John Lewis himself.
Why you gotta bring up cankles, dude? Some people are trying to eat dinner.
Hey, man, what can I tell you? I just do what I do. But Biden has already pledged during the primary that he's going to pick a woman as his running mate. Lewis is 80 years old, acknowledged to reporters that he has a few health problems after his announcement in December that he's been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. You think he might have some health problems? Stage 4 pancreatic? However, he said he hopes his issues will be resolved, and he plans to actively campaign for Biden. Lewis said that we need his voice and his leadership now more than ever. And he was encouraging younger black voters to get out there and vote like we never, ever voted before. look, if you think John Lewis is going to turn him out at the polls like Barack Obama did, no, it's not going to happen. They're not going to turn out for John Lewis to vote like they did for Obama when it's a white guy on the ticket. And I mean, even look, let's look at this. We're going to get Rick's about to push a button for us here. We got some Biden audio, but what gets me is that John Lewis heard this interview and heard the question that was asked of Joe Biden. And I'm going to give you the question before Rick pushes the button so you can hear the answer that Biden leveled. The question, and it's a fair question. It came from George Stephanopoulos, of all people. Stephanopoulos asked him, what would you do to combat COVID-19 if you were president of the United States? And Rick's going to hit the button and you can hear his answer now.
We cannot let this, we've never allowed any crisis from the Civil War straight through to the pandemic of 17, all the way around 16. We have never let our democracy take second fiddle. We can both have a democracy and elections and at the same time correct the public health.
So that's what John Lewis heard the day before, or I'm sorry, 2 days before dropping his endorsement for Joe Biden. What in the hell would make anybody listen to that and think, that's my guy? I mean, really, what in the hell? But here we are. Here we are. It's going to be Biden versus Trump. Unless they play some shenanigans at the convention. We'll see. A lot of people still think that Cuomo might jump into this. Governor Cuomo. They think he might jump into this. I don't know. I really don't. But we'll see. We're just a little past the bottom of the hour. We got to take a break. We're going to burn a couple minutes, refill our drinks, get off your butts, let them get some feeling back in them. And I think we got about 2.5, and we'll be back. Sound about right, Rick?
Sounds like a plan, man.
There we go. So fill them up now.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
Oh yeah, love my bumper music. And I got the best music in the world. Got the best music consultant in the world too. No, I'm not sharing, not with anybody. So anyway,
haters.
Just a reminder, coming up top of the hour, we got FUBAR with PolitiBunny and Ordy Packard. Ordy's been up to shenanigans in the chat room tonight. Thank you for being in there, Ordy. It's always good to see you, my friend. And then after that, we get Amish or Robinson and Amish. And then America Off the Rails. I'm telling you, it's loaded every Wednesday night here. It's not always the same, but now that I'm back on track, I'll be able to keep it straight, maybe. So anyway.
Yeah, I'm not taking that bet, just saying.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't take that bet either, because the crap changes and then I don't even know about it, so. Oh, man.
Well, you know, you get treated like a mushroom because you won't share your music consultant, just saying.
No, I will not share my music consultant. I'm sorry. There are some things that are just sacred and untouchable, and that is one of them.
Won't even share them with the guy that helps you make the show happen. I see how it is.
Yeah. Are you in the market for new music, or?
No, I just enjoy busting your balls.
Oh, okay, okay. I see Jeff in there talking about the music for his show, playing the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins. No, Jeff, no, you are not the best music consultant. I'm sorry. Love you to death, Jeff. You have talent to spare, and you are my brother, and man, you are not the best music consultant. Anyway, all right, so Congress is
before you go any further, you can blame the chat for this.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Just saying.
Shenanigans, shenanigans, shenanigans. Oh, why is G grouchy? Oh, you know, that, okay. We're gonna save 5 minutes or maybe a couple minutes. I don't think it'll take even 5 minutes. We'll just save a minute or two at the end of the show. I will do it before we sign off tonight. I will explain how I got the moniker Grouchy. I have been asked a few times. So I said I would do it on air tonight, and I will do it on air tonight. All right, but right now, we got to talk about Congress. And congressional leaders are pushing ahead with another coronavirus rescue package, as President Trump indicated that Americans will need more aid during the pandemic and economic shutdown. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said that another $1 trillion is needed beyond the $2.2 trillion effort that was just passed. She wants another round of direct payments to Americans and more monies for company to keep making payroll.
Well, let's be fair. That trillion she wants is just to fix her dentures. So let's be fair.
Well, you know, what she should spend a quick, easy million on is calling an arborist to get that big stick pulled out of her ass. But anyway, I digress. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said in recent days that health care should top the list, signaling his intent to get to work on a new bill for that. Trump said, we're going to take good care of our people. And this was not any person's fault. It's a rare sign of an emerging consensus as Washington responds to the public health emergency and economic fallout that is ransacking communities across the nation. A crisis on par with a war effort or the Great Depression.
The contours of the package are still being talked about, and any votes in Congress remain a logistical conundrum as they're all staying home under these health warnings and not traveling unless they absolutely have to. So on an afternoon conference call with House Democrats, Pelosi told lawmakers that another $1 trillion would be needed, and the California Democrat has vowed to put the next package together in time for a House vote this month. Former Federal Reserve Chief Janet Yellen joined the private call and warned Democrats the economic fallout will depend on the public health response to the pandemic. As businesses shutter to stop the virus spread, it has hurled the economy toward a recession. Yellen said it was impossible to know how deep and long the recession would be and added that it would depend on the health response. The former Fed chair also told them the nation's unemployment rate now sits at 13% and it will be higher by the end of this week. She expects a 30% contraction of GDP this year, but has seen models that are predicting as much as 50% retraction. The earlier relief package in late March included a one-time $1,200 direct payment to Americans, along with forgivable small business loans for companies to keep making payroll. It also included a boost of unemployment pay, money for hospitals, and a $500 billion fund for bigger corporations and industries. Now, Pelosi told Democrats the $1,200 direct payments to Americans and the Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses are not enough, and more needs to be done. She also said there needs to be more aid through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps. I can see it, but I can't. Okay? Most of the reason that most of those people are receiving that benefit is the fact that they're not working. So they're at home all day, every day, and subsiding off of that money. Do we need to give them more? Why? How has that impacted them? It's the same for them. On the other hand, I'm a human being, and I don't want to see them suffer either. Hey, look who just slid into the chat room back door there. How we doing, Politibunny? So anyway, Trump definitely favors another round of checks to Americans and gave a nod to that on the in the call in the next package. It's absolutely under serious consideration. The shifts from the political leaders are stark amid what officials warn could be one of the toughest weeks for the country as the number of confirmed cases and deaths climb. McConnell told the Associated Press on Friday that there will be another package and healthcare must be at the top of the list. McConnell said Congress should focus on correcting any shortcomings in the earlier $2.2 trillion aid bill and rely on healthcare experts for solutions to wipe out the virus. For Pelosi's part, she backed off her more sweeping proposals for her infrastructure package to put people back to work, focusing more on the immediate healthcare and economic needs. Yeah, you can't put people back to work if you're still worried about spreading a virus around. As governors plead for federal intervention, love this. Governors of blue states that basically have been giving Trump the middle finger for 3 years and telling him to stay the hell out of their states are now begging Trump for intervention. Should he give it to them? Yes, he should give it to them. Why? Because they are packed in like sardines. The virus is going to spread a lot easier in these major metro areas where they're packed in. You're seeing it in New York. Not so much in California, which is a little bit of a surprise, but Los Angeles is spread out. San Francisco is more spread out than New York. Okay, the city is tight, it's condensed, and it's the biggest, it's the most populous. They're all on top of each other. I've got a friend up there. He said the shit is everywhere. It's unreal. Do they need help? Yes, they need help. Should they get help? Yes, they should get help. Are they going to be assholes about it? Yes, they're going to be assholes about it because that's how the left is. Schumer told reporters on a conference call Monday that he's using the White House, urging the White House, to appoint a single well-qualified czar to handle both the production and distribution of medical supplies and equipment to fight the pandemic. They're politicizing this like they're trying to score some points. What these dumbasses don't realize, Trump's already done that. There is somebody in charge of distributing that equipment. Schumer said that governors and other officials have no choice but to search out materials helter-skelter. There are, especially in New York, there are companies right there that already make ventilators. We've got Ford converting one of its plants to make ventilators. We've got MyPillow converting their plant to make masks. It's happening despite all the hysteria from the media and the left. It's already happening. Schumer said he spoke with both Vice President Mike Pence and new White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and suggested three potential candidates for the job that's already filled. Oh, look, he suggested three military people. Funny, Trump's already got a military person that's doing the job. Tesla's making ventilators out of their windshield wipers. Yes, Al in the chat room. Yes, absolutely. It's already happening, folks. It's already happening. Trump, displeased with Schumer's effort, accused the senator of being overly political. Yes, he's right. Now, this package that they're starting to talk about right now that hasn't even really got any bones to it yet to throw meat on would be the fourth package from Congress since the start of the virus outbreak. Two initial efforts were followed by the third last month, which was by far the largest, the most ambitious of its kind in U.S. history, with so much federal aid expected to be pushed so quickly to the public. Congress is also trying to swiftly stand up oversight panels. And I have to tell you, I know of one person that's already received their $1,200 direct payment. So the checks are coming out. They are being sent. They are being deposited. It is happening already, which, I mean, look, let's face it. You're talking about probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 million checks being pushed out of the U.S. Treasury. Now, whether that's direct deposit or a physical check going to an address, that is a ton of work. And for people to already be receiving money, I think that's in itself a small miracle. I really do. Pelosi late last week announced that the formation of a House Select Committee with subpoena power to monitor the decision-making and cash flow. And you know what? That's fine. That's absolutely fine. A broader oversight board is being formed to track the Treasury Department's dispersal of the aid to businesses, in particular the $500 billion corporate aid. That's fine. Mnuchin needs to have that on the up and up. I don't have a problem with oversight on this. Now, does that mean that oversight is going to be, you know, completely fair and legit and, you know, they're going to do the right thing all the time? No, that doesn't mean that, because this is Mnuchin and he's Trump's pick and they hate Trump. Therefore, Mnuchin will be guilty of something inappropriate. It's just a matter of weeks before the accusation flies, if not days. So Schumer named a top economic advisor to Senator Elizabeth Warren, Bharat Ramamurthy, as his choice for the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee established by recent past legislation. So here's, yes, cooperation between states is definitely happening. We're seeing equipment transferring between states. I know that Governor Cuomo in New York personally visited the ventilator factory in the southern part of his state and actually did a big press conference thing with it. He was politicizing it. He took one of those big game show checks down there to them to purchase ventilators, which is, by the way, it is the way it's supposed to happen, and the federal government backfills for them. Yes, I am suspicious of Pelosi wanting oversight on that money to get it funneled to her friends, family, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, this was part of the third package had so much pork in it that it was absolutely ridiculous to even to say it with a straight face that she was fighting for legitimate concerns. No, she really wasn't. You know, look, there's going to be another round of payments that comes out, and I think that that's actually a good thing. I think maybe people that have been furloughed or lost their jobs should probably be on the beefier end of a payment plan. I think there needs to be a way to do that. I'm still working. I will continue receiving a paycheck at least until the 1st of September. Hopefully this is all over with by then and revenue has started generating in this country again. At that point, my job becomes tenuous. And that's just all it is. That's kind of where we're at for this week, folks. It is what it is. We got a couple minutes left. I promised I would do the origin of my handle Grouchy, and here it is. Long ago, I joined a gym. Now, I've always been somebody that was into fitness and, you know, I always enjoyed working out and doing all that good stuff, but I had had a run of some bad health and I'd gotten out of shape and I really needed to get back into shape. I joined this gym. I started going in and I would walk in the front door and they have a little like badge swipe. So they know you're in or you know, you basically sign in and sign out of the facility with your badge. So I would sign in, drop my keys in the basket on the front desk so I didn't have to carry them around with me, pick up one of their towels that they launder there at the gym, and I would go in and I would do my warm-up on the treadmill, and then I would go lift. And the whole time, I had my earbuds in, and I never took my earbuds out. And this was my practice for months. I never really socialized when I went to the gym. I never thought that's what the gym was for, but that's apparently a misconception on my part. Apparently you're supposed to be social with people when you go to the gym. But I was in the gym one day after having been a member for about 4 or 5 months, and the power went out. So they came and rounded us all up and they escorted us where the emergency lighting would kick on. And we went to one of the racquetball courts, just a good central location. It was a strong storm that knocked the power out. And it was a central room with no windows. And we went in the racquetball court, and there's probably about 30 of us in the room. And I pulled my earbuds out, and I started talking to one of the guys that lifts about the same time I do every day. We don't work out together, but we're in there at the same time. And we had a nice conversation about the power and how long this might last and blah, 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 blah. And power came back on. They let us go back and finish our workouts. And I was getting ready to leave. And the guy I was talking to, he stops me and he goes, hey, by the way, my name's Jason. And I said, well, how you doing, Jason? My name is, he goes, don't tell me because we already have a name for you. I said, you do? He goes, yeah. He said, we call you Grouchy. He said, you always look like you're in a bad mood. You never talk to anybody. And you just come in here, do your thing, and throw your crap down, and then walk out when you're done. So that's where Grouchy came from. I'm anything but in reality, but, you know, don't tell anybody. That's how it rolls. That is the origin of Grouchy. I have put that on Twitter before in a string of tweets. And I've done it on the air before too, but now I've done it on the air again. I hope that everybody that was interested heard it. And if you're not interested, I'm glad you're still in chat. Hey, look, we're posting Scottish GIFs in the chat now. Aye? Or not a GIF, a meme. It's a meme. Oi. Hey, kilt mask. I like it. I like it a lot. I might just have to make one of those. Anyway, that's the show tonight, folks. That's it. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome right here with me every week on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace!
You doing? I've been jumping through some hoops. Wanna get my body loose? Wanna tell you what to do? I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling, looking for a diamond. I'm trying, I'm fighting, riding in the middle of the world.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
To us.
China is asshole.